blessed to look out here and see many faces, see all these faces out here, folks of different ages, and I love that. That's fantastic. How many of you like to watch TV? Okay, a few of you. How many of you like to have the remote? Okay, about just as many. Pretty funny, right? I'm one of those guys that can like to have the remote at times. And I have one of those Amazon Fire Stick remotes. You guys familiar with that? It's got the little button at the top. You can, Alexa, you know, and you could tell Alexa to do something and play something on the TV. And it's amazing because then halftime she doesn't pull up the right thing. But anyways, that's another story. And on Thanksgiving holiday, I lost my Fire Stick remote. And it was bad. It was horrible. I felt like I was not whole, right? I mean, because I could not find the remote, and I was looking for it, and I'm like, how can this remote grow legs and walk out of my house? This is not right. And I'm looking in the couches, you know, I'm digging down in the couches on some of it, and I'm finding stuff there that I didn't want to find. You ever dig down a couch and go, oh, how long has that been there, right? And I wasn't talking money either. Okay, I'm talking food and candy. But anyways, and so I was looking, and I was getting frustrated because I could not find my remote. And so my son, Drew, he goes, I'll help you. And so he starts looking in the same places that I was looking. And guess what he did? He found the remote! Thank you. It was a good day in my life. I felt like my life was together and was kind of whole at that moment. But the lesson here that I want to share with you is not that I'm weird, because you already knew that, is simply, I know, right? What are you going to do? And y'all keep coming back week after week. I don't get it, man, but I'm so thankful that you do. We have fun here, and that's good. Drew was able, kind of here's the lesson with that. Drew was able to do something for me that no matter how hard I tried, I could not make it happen. No matter how hard I tried to have peace and from having that remote, I couldn't find it. And it took an outside source intervening to bring me to a place where I could go, all is right in the world, at least for the moment, right? Yeah. And I'm so grateful. And, you know, there was a time when I used to have to help my kids find their things. Your parents, you know what that's like? When your kids, I can't find this, I can't find that. It's, you know, anyways. And now it's getting to the point where my kids are having to help me find the stuff that I can't find. And Leslie's been so nice to, over about the last 26 years that we've been together. She's been helping me do that for a long time, right? So thank you. She just, yeah, you don't know the half of it. So I'm so grateful for that. And I love that we can so laugh about this together, because you know, one of the things that I've come to learn is that the funniest things in life are often the truest things in life, right? The things that we laugh together about are the things that usually are because we know they're so true. And part of what is perhaps so funny about that is, in one part, we get it. We can all relate on a human level. But there's this other part that we connect in that story, I think. And that is, every one of us knows what it's like to be incomplete. Like, every one of us knows what it's like to be broken. To know and have that feeling that something's missing and that I'm not complete. Like, every one of us gets that in some form or fashion. And it could be maybe that we are overly fearful at times and we're grieving a future that hasn't even happened yet. Perhaps we're overcome with chaos in our life. Maybe we feel like we've been left out. We wanted to be a part of something and we got left out of it and we feel like we're separated and broken. Perhaps we've been ignored by folks who we thought, that's the last person I would have thought would have blew me off. I thought they would have, like, give me the time of day, you know? And it's like, geez, OP, why didn't they? And you just sort of feel that maybe not valued. You may feel disrespected by folks, right? And so there's that sense of, I'm just broken. And sometimes I think we do it to ourselves because we pretend, sometimes we pretend to be somebody that we're not. I don't know if y'all have ever done that before. Maybe because we felt like the people that we wanted to hang with needed us, they wanted us to be a certain person that maybe we really weren't, but we really wanted to be in that clique, that crowd, and so we try to pretend to be somebody that really we're not. And when you do that, you just feel like you're not complete and whole in yourself. Sometimes we try to copy the lifestyles of the rich and the famous, or copy other lifestyles, whatever, because that's what, because we look at people that maybe we work with or in our neighborhoods, and you look and talk to them and go, wow, they seem to really have peace in their life and have it all together. And it's like, well, maybe I need to kind of, if I do some of the things that they do, that maybe I'll have what they have. And then what we find out is that no matter how hard we try, like me trying to find that remote, no matter how long I look for that thing, dude, I was not going to find it, right? No matter how long it kept evading me. That sense of peace keeps evading. It keeps just like, it's out of reach. You know, it's like, oh, it's right there. But nah, psych, it's not. It's still beyond you, right? And when you try to have peace here in your own strength, it doesn't work. It just doesn't really work. Because the peace that gives you rest in your spirit can only come from God. And that is part of our story of Christmas. That one of the gifts of Christmas is in Christ, and that is his peace. We so beautifully have hanging on our wall here today. And so it seems like a great place for us to go, which is part of the Christmas story this morning. So if you have a Bible, either your phone or your book, you want to open up to the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. If you would go down to verse 8, I want to start at verse 8. So 8 through 20 is going to be our text for this morning, but we're going to break it in two pieces. So let's start with Luke chapter 2, and let's go to verse 8, and let me read through 12. If you're there, say, I'm there. Sweet. Am I there? Yes, okay, I'm here. The Gospel of Luke chapter 2. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for a couple people." No. Will be for all the people. Exactly. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word in this moment and in those moments to come. Amen. So who's born? Jesus, right? So Jesus is born, and so he's born in this manger, and all these questions about what that was like and what it looked like and how humble it was, and nobody knows exactly for sure, but we just know that it was a very humble environment for the Messiah, right? For the Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world to be born into. And when he was born, peace had felt out of reach for God's people. Let's do a little looking into the culture and of the day, the context of the day. So when Christ is born, for the people of Israel, and so for the people of Jerusalem, God's people, God's nation there, peace had really evaded them for quite a long time. And I mentioned this a little bit last Sunday, if you're with us, that it felt like there was no end in sight for the lack of peace. Because remember, these folks took a great pride in being the people of God. Took a lot of pride in being that chosen people, in being their own nation. But yet they had the Romans who had moved in and took up camp and took over, essentially, And so here they have foreign rulers in the land that they didn't ask to be there, didn't want to be there. They're paying taxes that they don't want to pay. Sometimes feels still like today, but anyways. They have foreign policies that are enforced on their land that they didn't have any say in. And it just got dumped on them, and they just have to suck it up and go with it. Is it okay if I say that? Okay, they have to take a deep breath and just go, okay, well, I don't have a choice. I got to keep going. That sounds better. They have foreign worship practices, right? They had their own way of worshiping, but with the Romans and the emperor being a divine representative of God, they're supposed to worship the emperor as well as acknowledge and accept other foreign gods that are not real gods, but people are worshiping those gods anyways. And they're supposed to have this peace in the land because the last thing that Rome wants and something that the empire took a lot of pride in was having this peace on the outside where it in all of their territories, there was peace. Now, it was what you saw didn't have anything to do with the person. It had everything to do with the nations. Okay, it was an exterior circumstances. And they didn't get any say in any of this. And for hundreds of years leading up to that, there had been many times when their unfaithfulness to God had resulted in so much heartache in their life. And so here they find themselves and they're not experiencing the promise from God that they would have possession of the land. They would have this abundance of provisions in their land. This would be a glory, you know, it should be a glorious time for them as a people. They should have freedom. They should have longevity of life. They should have this royal lineage. Because this is all the stuff that the promise of God was based on when he called his people out. He said, if you follow me, I will bless you. And these are the kinds of blessings that I just mentioned that I will give to you. And so here they are, they're sitting in their land, and those blessings don't seem to be anywhere around to be found. And you kind of left, you imagine, wondering, well, where in the world is God in all this? Because they hadn't really officially heard from God in hundreds of years, and so they're left sort of just kind of wondering, like, is he listening? Is he around? Does he rightly care? We believe he does, but, I mean, if he did, it seemed like he ought to do something. You know, he ought to engage in this, and he should make our wrongs right. He ought to do something. Life just felt incomplete for them, and it wasn't whole. So I think we know what that's like, right? And different ways in our own lives, we kind of know what it's like when part of us is not as it should be. Part of our lives is not as we believe it should be. And it feels kind of broken and empty, that something's missing. One of the beliefs of God's people was that, and I got to give it to them, I love this belief, was the belief that the peace that we want can't come from the world. They believe that the peace that we know God has promised for us cannot come from the world. That it has to come from God. That there's not enough of anything in the world that can bring us the peace that we long for. It won't come until the Messiah comes to the earth. So this baby Christ, Christ has got to come to earth in order for this peace to come to earth. Otherwise, it's never going to happen. And they have a whole story of the people that prove that to be the case. And so they're thinking Isaiah, which we heard today, the lighting of the Advent candle, the reading out of Isaiah, where God has promised what? He will be the Prince of Peace. And of his kingdom, there will be no end, right? Yes. But it's got to come from Christ. It has to come from God. What's interesting to me, I love to keep learning stuff. You guys like to learn? Do you? Okay, only half of you do. But anyways, so moms and dads, I hope you were seeing who nodded yes and who didn't over here. But anyways, nonetheless, fun fact. So in that day, in the ancient East, Near East, different cultures held this understanding, this belief, that peace as it, for your nation was directly related to God, to the God that you worshiped. Okay? So if you don't have peace in your land, that means that apparently your God has like took a vacation or something. Okay? But if you have peace, then apparently your God is working on your behalf because he's taking care of your enemies, and you don't have to worry about other folks attacking you, and because they're keeping at bay, right? Even your military is keeping all the enemies at bay, and so you're like, we're doing okay. It's like, okay. And so they believe that, hey, your God is like, he's got your back, right? So you're okay, you're good. Israel held, and the Jewish people held the same belief. But they believe that our God could kick your God's butt. That's a fun way of saying it. But in essence, that is what they believe. That there is no one like Jehovah. There is no one like our God. Our God can do anything above and beyond all you could ever ask for, hope for, or imagine. Because the God that you worship is not a real God. Our God is the one true, living, eternal God. And his way will never be thwarted. He will always be victorious because he is the creator and the giver of life. He is the one, alone, who can do for you what no one or nothing else can do for you. And we will worship him and follow him and wait upon him, and we will believe in him. And if the word of God says to us that our peace is in him, then we will keep waiting for our peace to come through him, even if we have to go through all this other junk that we don't want in our lives and we don't think it's fair. And we can't change it and we can't stop it. All we can do is just seem to sit in it and just one day after the other. But if God says he can give me peace and rest for my enemies, I'm telling you what, I ain't letting go of that promise. And so therefore, if I hold on to that, I'm telling you, I have hope because he could do it. And he may not do it right now, but he could do it. And boy, and that's what we talked about hope last week, is believing that he could do this because he's God. And my peace is in him because he's got me. And he makes me whole. And man, is he a good God. And that has to come from God. So that's a great setup for the rest of our passage. Here we go. Go to verse 13 in Luke chapter 2. Let's keep reading on to verse 20. Verse 13. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So basically, here's the deal. Shepherds are out there in the fields at night. The big disco ball comes out of the sky. Not really, but wouldn't that be cool, though? And so it's time. It's party time. It's good news, right? And the angels are showing up. And, of course, they think, yeah, angel shows up, so apparently I'm getting ready to die because, you know, in that culture, when an angel shows up, you think it's bad news. It's all over. I'm done. Judgment is coming. And so, I mean, literally, they are terrified, which is why, again, when you look at scriptures and you read any individual person's encounter with a divine being, the response is, you know, it's fear. And so the angels say, "Hey, don't be afraid. I'm not coming to harm you. I'm not coming to bring judgment upon you. I'm coming to bring you some good news. Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth that is coming through the Christ who has been born." Can you just imagine having waited and waited and waited, and then all of a sudden, what you've been waiting for, you get news that it's here. It's here. And they're rejoicing. I mean, it makes sense that this is a crazy, like, off-the-chain kind of moment, that they're just going nuts. I would be too, I would imagine. But here's the rub, though. The peace that they wanted was an outward peace. It was peaceful circumstances. But Jesus did not come to give them peaceful circumstances, but peace in their circumstances. And that's the difference. He gave them the gift of knowing God personally and knowing His tranquility, knowing God's rest. So He doesn't remove the Romans from Jerusalem. He doesn't take them out of Palestine. He kind of seems to do the opposite thing for which, from a world human sort of me perspective, you would think that He would do. If He really loved me, He'd make my circumstances peaceful. But He says, the peace I give you is not a peace that the world has to offer. The peace I give you is peace in here. I can give you peace in your circumstances, even though you want peaceful circumstances. You can have peace in some pretty messed up circumstances. Because His peace transcends our circumstances. So He says, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Peace is a gift. Seems fitting, I think, isn't it, that we would talk about this during Christmas, this gift of Christ into our lives, a peace that the world can't give us. We have to look to Jesus to receive that, absolutely, that it's based on our faith, that first and foremost, that God gives us, that we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. This comes through our salvation. Romans 5:1, let me read that for you. I think Paul just pins it beautifully. He says these words, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace in life begins with peace with God. And the way to peace with God is through relationship with Jesus Christ, which must come through repentance, confessing one's sins unto God, surrendering ourselves unto Him. It doesn't come through anything that this world has to give. It doesn't come from my pocketbook. It doesn't come from my wallet. Guess what? You can spend all day on your phone and it won't come from your phone. You can try to escape reality and try to find peace in just the things and the world has to offer through social media. I think that's what happens a lot. I think that is happening a lot today. That social media, the use of that, I mean, yeah, it's fun, but it's becoming a way that people can escape their problems in the world and try to have a pseudo peace versus digging into Jesus, digging into a relationship with Jesus and trusting that He can bring a peace that the world cannot give. But sometimes you have to give it time. It doesn't come when you snap your fingers and say, gimme, gimme, because I deserve it. Gimme, gimme, because I want it. Oh, He gives it. Because it's His. And if it's His, you can't create it. If it's His, you can't contrive it out of anything in the world. No matter how hard you try, you will always find that peace evades you unless you go to Christ. And He can fill your heart with peace in your brokenness. He can make you whole. He can help you so you can inhale grace and exhale worship. Because you know, sometimes you know that's what you need to do, but it's not what you want to do. Because sometimes what you want to do is work hard enough and fix your problems yourself. Not good. You ought to be a good steward and work hard to do. I'm not slighting any of that at all, okay? But our peace is not a works-based peace. Our peace is a faith-based peace. that make sense? Yeah? All right, cool. You're tracking with me. Good. So if it comes from God and I can't create it, then it seems right that I have to simply receive it and allow Christ to guard it in me as I trust in Him. But then also I'm supposed to do something with that. Because here's the thing about having a relationship with God. This is kind of interesting thing. Today we live in a culture that is very, it gets very excited about what I can get from church. So we call it consumer-minded, okay? It's what can the church give to me? And so we may come to church. I'm not saying this is y'all, but I know that the church in North America and perhaps in other places, but struggles with this, okay? There's this idea that I come and you give me something. I come, you feed me, right? So it's an interesting statement when somebody says, well, I don't know, man, I just don't feel like that preacher's feeding me. When you have a relationship with God, He does feed you, but you also turn around and you give. And so when Jesus talks about peace in the Gospels, in the New Testament, He teaches that we are to be peacemakers, right? That we are the peace that we have ourselves received from Him through faith, by grace, that we are to in turn pass on and share with others. Now, I can't make you have peace, but if there's something in our relationship that we need to work out because our relationship is kind of strained, our friendship, then I have responsibility to come to you and to, with humility, to see, can we try to work this thing out? But here's the deal about that, though. You okay if I just, okay, she's good. I'm good. But here's the thing about that. When we do that, it's not about me, nor is it about Kelly. When we think it's about the people, we tend to set expectations for things to happen. And if that doesn't happen, then something's wrong with them. Or maybe I didn't try hard enough. When we think about being peacemakers, peace comes from God. We work for peace, but ultimately, the wholeness, the peace, the rest in here that comes from God is something that God will bring in that transaction of trying to work this thing out, right? So it's not about you, and it's not about that other person. It's about God. It's about God's grace bringing peace through wisdom, the working of His Spirit. As you work for peace, yes, He can do it, but it doesn't mean we get to get off the hook and go, well, God, that's up to you. I got better things to do. You're going to have to fix that because that person is cray-cray. I got nothing. They're beyond help. And you know what? Honestly, it's so messed up, I don't even want to deal with it because I'm tired and I ain't got time for this. I don't have the emotional energy for this. It just needs to go away. And you know what? If I ignore it, I think it'll just go away. How many times can you ignore sickness and it not negatively affect you? I don't think it's too often that that tends to be the case. It will. God knows this. He created us to have healthy relationships, right? And so it makes sense then that we're supposed to do the work of making peace with other people when we realize that somehow there's a wrong that's happened in there or whatever the case may be, that we're to work for that. Because Jesus said in the Gospel of John, I want you to go love one another as I have loved you. Right? He said, that's the new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, the world will know that you're my disciples. But somebody who calls himself a Christian and won't do the work of trying to make peace in relationships, I'm wondering how comfortable they feel with that title of being a genuine follower of Christ. He who will follow me will obey my commands, he says. May not be that we do it perfectly all the time, but that our heart is in the posture of wanting to do the hard work of love in relationships and trusting God for the results. Because you may do the work and it may not come out anywhere near the way you want it to. And it just may be the way it will end up being. But we still are called to speak words of praise and peace instead of words of pride and prejudice. If you think of the angels, what are the words that the angels speak? Do anybody remember that? Glory. Glory to God in the highest. Words of praise. And peace on earth to whom his favor rests. Peace. The message of God to the people is a message of praise and peace. Guess what? We're to be messengers of God as well through the Holy Spirit in us, through our relationship with God. Our message is to be one of praise and peace, even though it can feel good and be easy. And like, because it's easy to be a jerk to somebody. That's not hard. It's not. I'm right, aren't I? It's not hard to some pride and prejudice can be a pretty easy direction to go. It can be an easy road to walk down if you let it be. But Jesus says, I've called you to speak words of praise and peace, not pride and prejudice. Because I've called you, I've saved you and brought you into a family that will love people different than the way the world tends to love each other. Man, that's hard some days. One of the things I love about the Kairos Prison Ministry is that when they go into the prison, they bring what? Do you remember? They bring cookies! I wish I could talk like the Cookie Monster, you know, and I'd be like, teenagers are like, who's the Cookie Monster? Anyways, they bring cookies into the prison, and it becomes a bridge builder, trying to build a bridge with those inmates that you're spending time with on that weekend that you're there. And then if I understand correctly, that there comes a point in the weekend where those who are participating, the inmates, they are given cookies themselves. And they're supposed to go find somebody or give those to a person that they are at odds with, that they have conflict with, right? And so those cookies are to sort of be, again, a bridge, hopefully a bridge towards peace. So we're teaching them to be peacemakers with the gifts and things that they have because this is the way of Christ. And here we go, might I say, when we say it's the way of Christ, that we can also say it's the way of the cross. I was setting us up for this the whole time. You knew it was coming. It's the way of the cross. Christ has made peace with God for us. And we are justified to stand before God through the peacemaking work of the cross. And if he's brought us peace with God, then we ought to go help extend peace to others. And if my Savior did it through the cross so that I could have peace, and he wants me to love the world like he's loved me, God, by your grace, help me to go be a peacemaker in the world so that I can teach the world what it looks like to love in the name of Jesus Christ with the gift of peace that he's given me. Help me. Because you know you can't do that in your own strength. It requires the grace of God to do that. And that grace comes to us and the ability through salvation and the peacemaking work of the church. Sometimes we struggle with this. Would that be a fair statement? Think so? Some days this maybe feels harder than others to do this, to engage in this kind of work, right? At home, if you're married, maybe sometimes with your spouse. Because, I mean, come on now. Because there's some times, you know, like, I'm just right. And they just need to get on board. Usually that is Leslie knows that I am wrong because I have been wrong. And she's so patient with me. And she's so good. But sometimes when we know we're right, watch this. When we know that we're right with the people that we think should know us the best, and they don't seem to get it, it becomes easy to hold a grudge. Because if you really loved me, you would know what I'm thinking right now. You would know how that would have made me feel for you to speak that way or say those things or not do that or to have done that. Like, you should, like, come, you're like, come on now, we've been together for a long time. He should know better than that. Well, probably. But it didn't happen. So you can either be about pride and prejudice to separate, or we can think back to the cross of Christ and the gift of peace and the words of that wonderful night and say, I'm going to speak words of praise and peace to my spouse, my children, my grandchildren. I'm not going to tear them down, and I'm not going to give the enemy a foothold in our relationship, because I hope you realize that's exactly what happens if you do that. If you hold a grudge against someone, if you're holding them at arm's distance, and right, we all know what it's like to do that, I'm sure. You give the devil a foothold in that relationship. And the scripture says, do not give the devil a foothold in anything. So just slam that door shut in the name of Jesus and keep that thing closed, right? Just don't let him do that. Love. Choose to love them. It's hard, but choose to do that hard work. This Christmas, take time to thank God for the gift of hope that has come through Christ. Take time to thank God for the gift of peace that comes in our lives through Christ and asking for the help to be a peacemaker in the world, to love people the way that he's already loved you and the way he keeps loving you today, that the gifts we have received we would give and share with others.